Postgame. Cenk, Casper, forward. I was at MSNBC. My agent took me to a power breakfast. Okay, that's how it was told to me, and it totally lived up to its billing. So there's apparently this hotel in New York where the powerful all have breakfast. I already forgot which hotel it was. So because you know what, I wouldn't mind popping in every once in a while, be like, "What's up? What's up?" I'd be like, maybe I could find my old email. Anyway. So it's apparently where they go, and so that's, and then we went, and it's filled to the rim with politicians and TV people, okay, from the news and political world. So Harold Ford Jr. over here, there's this person, that person, everybody's there, okay. I've not done a great job of explaining, but you get it.
It sounds like a great time.
Yeah,
and. Being sarcastic, but
No, but in a sense, it was the club. And in the beginning, I have to confess that it was a little alluring. And at the time, I had a powerful agent. We have good agents now, but my agent was really well known in the industry and represented a lot of people on cable news. So people would come to kiss his ring, okay? And they'd be like, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" And they're like, "Who's this guy?" Yeah, and oh, he's on MSNBC now. And that's how, you know, you circulate and get into the club. And you know, I was having a dandy time, and there was no reason not to be, okay? And then I saw John Bolton.
Oh, this is the story.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you see John Bolton, and then what happens?
I bum rushed him with a butter knife. No, I'm kidding. Of course I didn't.
Shaved off that mustache.
But I like that you thought that it was somewhat possible. You gave me a look like, really?
No, I did not think it was possible.
Okay. No, look, there was already, I forget all the people in the room. I don't know why I remember Harold more than anybody else. But there was already plenty of people in the room that I had some objections to, some people I liked. But, you know, it was a range.
Some of them are good people.
So, yeah, there's good people on all sides. And there was one other guy in the room, Tom Coburn, I believe. Yeah, Coburn. I was thinking, like, Coburn, I thought you were Mr. Outsider, Oklahoma. Remember, he's the guy who used to show diseased vaginas on the floor of the house, pictures, and penises, to be fair. Okay, and he'd be like, "Look at what depravity brings us. The moral decline has brought us this green penis."
So he shows pictures of Trump's penis? Like, I don't get it.
Oh, zinger. But to be fair to Coburn, he was a rare guy that showed principle on like 25% of issues.
He deserves no credit.
Okay, anyway, so of course he was like Obama's favorite Republican. He's super right wing, but on occasion he'd be slightly principled, and Obama's like, "Oh my God, I love you, I love you." He couldn't stop complimenting Coburn. So Coburn's there, and I already have a little bit of an uneasy feeling. And I'm like, "That's funny, I thought you weren't in the club, right?" Anyways, and then I saw Bolton, and everything got washed away. Because like everyone else, he was greeted warmly in the club. Again, remember, it's not a literal club, it's just a hotel where they do the fancy breakfast. And it's not an organized breakfast, they all just show up there. So on any given day, there could be many other people, right? And but everybody's like, "Oh, John," and this is 2010, right? So it's now the Obama years, but Bolton was one of the top neocons who led up to the Iraq War, killed hundreds of thousands of people in that war, innocent civilians. And I'm like, "Oh, right, I forgot, no one cares. No one cares what a bad guy he is. The only thing that matters is he's a little famous and plenty powerful." So all the people you killed outside, they're not in the club. In the club, you know, this is what I talk about on the show all the time. Most important rule is be civil to one another.
Right, but you wanted to be an outsider. You wanted to wear your leather jackets and ride your motorcycle.
That's from the famous Phil Griffin speech that that I got. It's the head of MSNBC. He said, "You know, outsiders are cool. They wear leather jackets, ride motorcycles." And I was thinking, like, first of all, I think I got pretty good credentials on being an outsider.
Have you ever worn a leather jacket?
Yes. Oh, that's another fun story. I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Anyway, but to finish the other story, I'll get back to my leather jacket. And Oh, and a motorcycle, mm-hmm. both fun. Okay, and I haven't even gotten to the cheating story yet. This is a very fun postgame. Okay, so the Bolton thing, like, almost literally turned my stomach. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, I'm done with this place. And I never went back. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I was like, yeah, it was alluring for like 15 minutes or an hour or whatever it was, until you realize the price of admission. The price of admission is you gotta be buddy buddies with these guys. And if you're not, they see you as uncouth and unacceptable, etc. They view his actions as perfectly acceptable. But if you're rude to him, they find that to be unacceptable.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So
were you rude to him at all? Or did you just decide after seeing him there, I don't want to be part of this, and you never came back?
I gave him a little shimmy on the way out.
Shimmies are good things.
Well, a shimmy his shoulder would be a fun thing. No, yeah. Of course I didn't do that. I saw people warmly interact. I had gotten up. I was on my way leaving, and he was on his way in. And mm-hmm. I saw people like greeting him warmly, Democrats, Republicans, media people. Mm. And I was like, almost upchucked the breakfast. Mm. Okay, so.
Real quick, when you said power breakfast, I thought about what a power breakfast is in California. It has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with famous people in a powerful hotel situation. Power breakfast in California is, I'm gonna eat a chicken breast for breakfast. That's my power breakfast, right? You see it on the menu, like no carbs, kale, chicken breast, maybe egg whites. So when you said power breakfast, I immediately had a negative reaction to it.
Okay, yeah. Well, as it turns out, it's slightly worse.
Yeah.
But only slightly. And as you recounted that California breakfast, I thought maybe Ted Cruz had a point.
Yeah, with some of the health nut stuff. Like, I don't want to hear about acai bowls. There was once a food truck parked outside of our office, and they offered cold pressed juice mm-hmm. for lunch. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here. That is not lunch, and that is not healthy. Anyway.
I don't know if it's healthy or not, but I definitely agree it's not lunch.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how hungry I'd be on the show if that's what I had for lunch?
Had juice for lunch.
Yeah. I would not remember any of the stories. I'd be cranky all day, right? And I'd be like, wait, I forgot. Oops, forgot that one too. It'd just be a disaster.
It would, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. By the way, there's too many stories. Mm-hmm. I'll try to make them as quickly as possible. I just remembered, it's weird how I ran into John Bolton. Now, it's happened just twice, but in New York. Mm-hmm. Because another time, Trump was having meetings with people. There was a reason why everybody was, some UN meeting, and everybody was in New York. And I happened to be in the neighborhood of where Trump was having the meetings. I had a separate meeting having nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And I saw John Bolton power walking away from Trump's, where he was holding the meetings. And I was like, oh, Trump's having the things, and there was some motorcade that went by, and I'm like, oh my God, that's John Bolton, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And a little while after that, I forget if it was a couple of days or a couple of weeks, John Bolton got announced as the new security advisor, national security advisor. So I'm on to you, Bolton, okay? well, that's a fitting name, by the way, given Game of Thrones. He comes from the House Bolton.
Yes, definitely. Mm.
Okay, so leather jacket. Two things. One, I once had an orange leather jacket that somebody got me as a present from Turkey. And I thought it was a very nice present. It probably cost a good amount of money, so I tried to wear it around. But it was really puffy. It was a puffy orange jacket. And I got
that wasn't a present. That was a curse.
Apparently. I got so much crap from it, about it, from my friends, that I just couldn't do it anymore. And I gave up on the third wearing, fourth wearing.
Probably still have it in your closet because you never get rid of any of your clothes.
I know. You know what? I should go in Freehold. I probably do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and try to find the puffy orange leather jacket.
But that's the thing about other countries. Like, style is different. Like, you go to Europe, and not all, but a lot of the men have, like, perfectly, like, manicured eyebrows and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Europe's a weird place when you really think about it.
Well.
You know? Like, if you went to Europe with those brows, over. They would, like, hold you down, tie you up with rope, and immediately start threading your eyebrows.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to get to. So, yeah. I have friends from Turkey. Hence Europe, right, mm-hmm. in this context. And they literally live on the European side of Istanbul, so they're Europeans. Mm-hmm. One, they would look at that leather jacket and go like, nailed it.
Yes.
And so these Americans have no taste that they don't see that that's cool. Number two, same guy once said that called me, and I'm sorry, and this is a long time ago, and la la la. He called me gay for not putting on makeup before going to a club. He's like, well, I guess you don't want to get laid. So that's okay, but that's kind of weird and gay that you're not putting on makeup.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that happened. So it's just totally different.
It is different. It is different.
Okay. Now, another guy, a very good friend of mine, bought me a leather jacket, mm-hmm. also from Turkey. Okay. The leather jacket wasn't. He's from Turkey. He came over and he's like, Cenk, you're a mess. You're not winning with this look. You need a good leather jacket. He's like, I'm going to just go buy you one right now. I'm like, what? I'm like, you know me, I'm dirt poor. And I'm like, good, I guess. I don't know, but that's weird, right? Isn't mm-hmm. that weird? You're buying me a leather jacket? He's like, no, no, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he went and got me a leather jacket. My friends have been giving me shit about that for 20 years because they're like, what man buys another man a leather jacket? Okay, nothing wrong with that, but I'm just like, you know, what is that? But it's again, he's European. He's
yeah.
like, of course, who? What kind of a monster wouldn't buy a friend a leather jacket if he
yeah.
needs one?
Yeah.
Okay. I still wear that leather jacket.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. 25 years later, 20, 25 years later. Because
I mean,
what am I going to do, buy another one?
Yeah, they're built to last.
And they're supposed to be cool when they, but it is, it's literally falling apart at the seams.
Oh, is it?
I think for a little while it was like, it was cool when it was new, mm-hmm. it was cool when it was a little worn in, and then it was like a different cool when it was like really worn in. Now I don't think it's cool anymore.
Yeah, well, you spent too much time being an outsider, let's just keep it real.
Right.
And more importantly, even if it looks horrible, like it looks like it's about to fall apart, it's been run over by a semi-truck, whatever, just give it to Haas, he'll wear it. He'll wear it at any opportunity. He'll wear it at the most inappropriate opportunity. You got to convince Haas to stop dressing like he's homeless.
Okay, but I don't know. What do we know about being
yeah,
cool?
Yeah, you don't know.
People think
I know
Haas
about
is
being
cool.
You don't, but I do.
People think, I guess people think Haas is cool. So I can't. Yeah, he looks crazy to me.
All right, TYT poll, no. Is Haas cool?
Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
So, anyway, by the way, you're absolutely right. He wears a third of my old clothes from 25 years
ago. Of course he does. Of course he does.
But come on, he has, one of them is super cool. It doesn't fit me anymore. The Lord's Gym one. You mm-hmm. ever seen that t-shirt?
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay, come on, that's badass. So, there was a Christian church down in South Beach back in the day. And it has, the shirt has Jesus Christ bench pressing with a cross on his back. Okay, and it says, his pain, your gain, Lord's Gym.
Okay,
no, come on, that's badass.
Hold on. Now that I know the backstory to that, that is a cool shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, the others not so much, but that one, yes. No, we can fix that leather jacket. I'll show you one day.
Okay.
You'll get some saw table action on there.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll stain it.
Yeah. Okay, and rides motorcycles. That was the other part of the outsider thing. I once rode a moped. It scared the living shit out of me, and I've never ridden anything like that again in my life.
Yeah.
That was also in Turkey. And they're like, oh, you want to go on a country, like a ride to the countryside or whatever? And it was definitely not a motorcycle. I don't know what it was.
Like
but
a scooter or something.
But don't get me wrong, it was like, and I'm like, oh, whoa, watch it. No, it picked up. It had real speed. There was no, we didn't have helmets, we didn't have seatbelts, we were in shorts. If that thing falls over, we're screwed, right? And I was in the back, and there's, and then we're like, oh, sik dir, well, literally, it's Turkey.
No.
And
not for me.
Not for me.
Yeah.
No.
So
I'm an outsider who likes his couch.
Back in the day, when we were in the old studio, I would be in traffic for an hour and a half to get to work, hour and a half to get home from work. This mm-hmm. is when I was living like deep in the San Fernando Valley. And so I got desperate at one point. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. It's killing me. It's making me crazy. So I considered getting a Vespa, which is a scooter. And everyone around me was like, please don't do that. You're going to die. Especially in California. And now I get it. So in an effort to convince me not to do it, one of my friends who had a different friend convinced him to like give me a ride on the Vespa. And I had the same reaction as you. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. It's scary. You're not protected. And I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm a spaz.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the damage I could do in a parking lot, let alone out in the world with, and you know,
The damage that can be done to you.
Yeah. You fall on one of those things. It's good night, Irene. It's not good night, Irene, but you're in a lot of trouble. I'm a Steelers fan. I saw what happened to Roethlisberger, right?
Did he fall off a scooter?
No, he fell off an actual motorcycle without a helmet on and nearly killed him.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I said. Jeez. So, okay. Oh, I was watching the, there's too many stories. I got to get to the last one. I was watching the football games with Pro on Sunday. And he'd watched the Steelers with me, but I guess he was too young and wasn't paying attention. And so when he heard Roethlisberger's name, he's like, he has burger in his name.
That's hilarious. It's so cute.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now the what was supposed to be the second story, my cheating story. So this was in relation to the Serena Williams story. And I got some of your comments. The best of my ability, I check in a couple of different places for your reactions and stuff. And so some people were saying, yeah, no, the throwing the racket and the so-called cheating, they're really minor infractions that all the coaches give signs. And in this case, Serena Williams was all the way on the opposite side of the court. And to be fair to her, she probably didn't even see. Even the coach said, yeah, I did send signs. She might not have seen it.
Right, yeah. Right? Like the thing about sending signs, that's an action that her coach is taking, right? And so you can't stop your coach. You can't predict your coach is going to do that and stop him from doing it ahead of time. So that I felt like was a little unfair. The racket thing, I don't know. I just think of, I put myself in another person's shoes. If I'm doing something that I'm super passionate about and tensions flare and whatever, I get frustrated with myself maybe. Like, just let me break my racket, okay? Like, let me
Let me get it out.
Well, as long as you're not being disrespectful to your opponent, you're not, like, physically assaulting people, I don't think you should be verbally abusing, you know, the umpire or whatever. But, like, just let her break the racket. I didn't know why that was a big deal.
Oh, my God, that leads to another story. So I was once on a tennis court, and I got into a fight with some tennis instructor. And so, you know, there are situations where I lose my temper. I don't know if you guys know that. And that was one of them. And so once I go into, like, beast mode, there's no telling me, but you shouldn't yell at the umpire, blah, blah, blah. So I'm with you. I would, in that case, the guy called me fat, okay? Which, I again, back then, I was also fat. And this was, again, 25, 30 years ago, whatever it was. And But first of all, nowhere near as fat as I am today. So.
Okay, but like, why did he call you fat? Was it out of nowhere?
Because we were arguing back and forth. Okay, and but it, as it turned out, he was significantly overweight himself, and more so than me. Okay, now so since he called me fat, I was like, I can't believe I've never told this story.
You've never told the story.
Okay, so I got down at his belly level.
Oh, no.
And started pointing at it, going, "Are you calling me fat? You're calling me fat, right?" And so, that's what happens when you get worked up.
Yeah. Right? No. And what was his reaction?
He was trying to get me away from him. Right? He did not enjoy me pointing at his gut while walking around with him, going, "You're calling me fat." And to be fair to me, he struck first. I didn't bring up the fat issue. I'm fat. Right. So, anyway,
I don't know if I've ever told this story on the post game, but I'm going to tell the story on the post game. So it just reminded me of an interaction I had with a conservative at the RNC. So I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with this guy. His name's he goes by Roosh, and when I first started.
Don't you mean douche?
Well, he's definitely a douche, right? But I had known about him because early on, when I first started TYT, we had done some stories about him. He was trying to get rape legalized. He's one of these so-called pickup artists. You know, he was a bit of, he was one of those guys that would say insanely shocking things for attention. But I think that there were also things that he would say that he meant. And he genuinely, you know, showed this disdain for women that I didn't understand. So we would do stories about him. And I guess he saw those stories and didn't like it. Now, fast forward to the RNC.
Can I just say, I mean, so I don't even remember this guy. But look at the hilarious world we live in where the guy's like, I'm offended at what you said about my ideas of rape being legal. You can't say that rape should be legal and turn around and get offended when someone criticizes you. But they have no self-awareness at all.
But these guys, okay, my story is going to prove just how insecure and sad they are. Okay, so we're at the RNC. One of the days had just wrapped up. It's dark outside. And so I'm walking to the car with a group of TYT people, and I hear someone call out my name, Anna. And I was like, who's that? And I look around and I see him, right? But I didn't recognize him right away. But I just knew that he was a bad guy. You know, I was like, he's not a good person, but I'm gonna go up to him. He called my name. I'm gonna see what he has to say. As I'm walking up to him, I wasn't 100% sure, but my suspicion was that it was the Roosh guy, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm walking up to him, I'm thinking, he's not gonna say something polite or nice to me, so let me strike first. The first thing I said to him was, oh, you're actually uglier in person.
Damn, you're so on fire. Man, you're crazy, dog.
Oh, it was such a good feeling because it was a great feeling because he looked at me and he was caught off guard, which I knew would happen. And he's like, oh, well, you look older in person. And I just started laughing and I walked away. I was like, yeah, whatever, dude. And then he tweeted about it. He's like, I just called Anna Kasparian old. It was so sad and so pathetic. Oh, I loved every moment of it.
Man, you sometimes would come with a 2x4 that I don't even expect.
But you know why? Because he's like one of these pickup artist guys who says all these terrible things about women because he can't get laid. Like he complains about not getting the sex that he feels entitled to. And so you're about to say something rude to me. I know it. So let me hit you first with the one thing. That's your Achilles heel, your insecurity. And yeah. You're ugly, so boom, you get it.
Okay, so you get it.
Yeah,
that's it. But I like that my favorite part of the story is like, oh yeah,
you're old.
You look older in person. You look more. Your shirts look more blue in person. Got you. And then he goes and tweets about it. I told her shirt looked too blue.
It was so
leaving
funny.
Out the part about what she told me, which still hurts. Look, I didn't get laid either when I was a kid. A teenager growing up, et cetera, right? But I at least had the decency to know that I wasn't entitled to it, mm-hmm. right? And it is that weird sense of entitlement that when you add right wing to the mix of these guys, like, I mean, even look what they call themselves, the incels, mm-hmm. involuntarily celibate. Got news for you. We were all involuntarily celibate. There wasn't a lot of guys. There was one evangelical guy in our high school who pretended he did it on purpose. Like, oh, I don't want girls. I'm with Jesus. His pain, my gain. I was like, no, literally, your pain, not your gain. But the rest of us were all involuntarily celibate. Yeah. But the reason they say that, like, because they feel like, well, I should be entitled to sex.
Yeah.
I should be entitled to going out with women, any woman I like. So what the hell? This is involuntary celibateness. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. We just never called it that because we didn't think we were entitled to it.
Oh, too funny.
Okay, anyway, I love that that's like news to them.
I know.
So, all right, so the story I was getting to about Serena Williams, it was the cheating story. So I was in, I remember it was Mrs. Miller, it was reading class. It was junior high, I think seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And she accused me of cheating on a test, looking at Paul Kalamea's answers. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a solid A in that class. I don't remember if it was A plus, whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. And I flipped out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how dare you? I have a, you know, I get 20 out of 20 on every quiz. Well, I mean, like, this is already super unbearable, right? and I'm like, how could you say that? She was right. I was looking at Paul's answer because I wasn't sure about number 20. They get progressively harder, right?
Yeah.
Or number 19 or whatever it was. And I did the old looky look. Okay. And I guess since I was wrong, I got more
mad. Defensive. Yeah.
Defensive, right. And then she told me I had to go to the principal's office because I was yelling. Mm-hmm. And so I got up in front of the class as I was walking out and I was saying more stuff to her, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. And I remember one of the cute girls in the class was like, Cenk. And I'm like, what? She's like, your fly's open. I was like, oh no. And the whole class erupts in laughter.
Oh.
And then I'm like, I can't believe I'm an incel. No, and then I wrapped up my angry speech right away. I was like, and then that's why. And I walked right the hell out of the class.
I love that story.
Okay, here's the fun part, because I'm me. I found Mrs. Miller like 20 years later. I emailed her and apologized.
Did she remember about the whole debacle?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
You never had me as a student, forgot. Mm-hmm. Every teacher remembers me, and she remembered that particular thing.
There's a teacher that I still have a grudge against. I feel like I should email her and, mm-hmm. and express the grudge.
That's the difference between me and Anna. She's like, and remember what I did to you? Well, I should have done worse.
What she did to me. Anyway.
Okay, that's your fun post game. We'll see you guys tomorrow.